Thanks for having me. This is probably going to be the outsider talk of the week. So thanks, double thanks for having me. So the question is very easily stated. I give you a convex body. And I ask you, in the plane at the beginning, then we'll move to higher dimensions. And I ask you, can you cut it into 5 convex pieces with equal areas and equal perimeters? So why 5? One doesn't mean anything. 2 follows from the intermediate value theorem. 3 is a theorem of Baran, Blagojevich, and Schuchs. 4 was not prime, so I couldn't do it before. Now I can do it because it's a prime squared. And it's a conjecture of Ramana Rao and Nanda Kumar from 2007 that you can do it for any number. And the analog in higher dimension, it's obviously volume and surface area. So, some history. This kind of result goes back to the ham sandwich theorem. This was asked by Steinhaus in the Scottish Book of Mathematics. And he said, can we place a piece of ham under a meat cutter so that the meat, bone, and fat are cut in halves? And it was answered by Banach. And then Stone and Tukey generalize it to any dimension. The generalization is not, it's exactly the same proof. Both use Porzu Coulomb. What Stone and Tukey did that was very important is that they called it the ham sandwich, which made it very popular. So this is based on Porzu Coulomb theorem. So Porzu Coulomb theorem that says that if you have a sphere and you look at a continuous map going to Euclidean space of smaller dimension, then two antipodal points will go to the same image. Yes? Classical result in topology, first result in equivariant topology. Let me show you some applications of the ham sandwich and of Borsu-Coulomb. So the first one is the same type lemma and it's relative. So this is like a general notion in geometric Ramsey theory. The idea is combinatorial objects that come from geometric objects are very different from combinatorial objects that come from, say, randomness or other sources. And you need ways to argue this, and the ham sandwich theorem helps you doing so. Second application is the sphere weight inequality of Gromov, the recent result. This is, I won't say what the result says, but it includes the Borsu-Coulomb theorem, it includes the ham sandwich, it also includes the concentration of measure on the sphere. So it's a quite remarkable theorem. A third example, the endpoint case of the multilinear Kakeya conjecture of Bennett, Carbari, and Tao by Larry Goetz. Not here, but he could be here. So the story of this result is that Enid Dinur solved the Kakeya conjecture for finite fields, and sorry, for finite fields. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I thought it was Dinur. Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. In any case, Larry Good managed to carry out some of the ideas of this result to the continuous world. And that's this result, that I don't know. I read the paper. I don't know the details of it, so I won't speak more about it. But coming back to my problem, I can... I will talk about a slightly more general problem. I will forget about perimeters or surface areas, and I will talk about, I have one nice probability measure. Nice means that it's absolutely continuous and it decays very fast to infinity. The density function decays very fast at infinity. And then I can take limits. So nice is not as restrictive as it seems at the beginning. So So I have one measure and one function on convex bodies, one continuous function on convex bodies. And what I want to do is I want to partition this convex body into n pieces so that each piece has the same measure and each piece evaluates to the same under this functional. If I can do that, then I just set the measure to be the volume of the intersection with my original convex body and the function to be the surface area of the intersection with my convex body. The surface area like that is not continuous, but you can deal with it. And and the convex boneless crispy fried chicken breast conjecture follows. So if you're an RD and you have a party and you invited M friends and you want to cook for them fried chicken, so you want the chicken and the fried part to be the same for everyone, then you need this theorem. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah. So as I mentioned before, the known result was N equals 3, V equals 2. I mentioned 2, N equals 3. And that case is very particular because convex partitions will look like this, all of them. Yes? So this is, I choose a point, I choose one direction, and then I swipe that way until I get a third of the measure, and then I swipe this way until I get a third of the measure. And this is my phase space. And now I want to move around this point in this direction, and I want to find somewhere in which my function evaluates to the same point on the three pieces. Yes? And you use equivariant topology and you solve this. So I'm going much faster than I suppose. Are there any questions at this point? The problem that I want to solve is clear. At least this should be clear. Yes? If I just use the boundary measure on the outside, then this problem is really easy. I can just use the ham sandwich. Well, at least for powers of two, this is really easy. Because I can slice, and then I slice again, and then, I slice, and then I choose one side, and then I slice again, right? So I have one measure is the surface area, and one measure is the volume. And I slice again this side as well. But if I try to do that for the actual perimeter, then it doesn't work, right? Because then this side and this side, these two guys will have different ones. Yeah? This technique will not work for the perimeter because the perimeter is the whole thing. So the perimeter of this convex body is, yeah? Oh, I stepped ahead. So how can we parameterize the space of convex partitions? I'm asking you this question. And the hint is that I'm giving this talk in this conference, and I really wanted to give this talk in this conference. So the space of convex partitions is too big. There's no way to get hold of it. But there's a nice subspace that you can get hold of. And one nice subspace in which all the parts have the same area. Ideas? The same measure? Convex? Okay, I'll tell you. The idea came from computational geometry. It's called a power diagram. It's a generalization of a Bournot diagram. So you give yourself some points, like then, just leaving the plane. All that you ask is that no two of them are the same, so they're distinct points. And for each one, you have one parameter, which you can think of as radius, just like in this picture. And the power of a point outside it is the length square of this segment. Analytically, it's that thing that you see over there. And you should recognize this thing because power diagrams are solutions to optimal transport problems when the measure of the target measure is a discrete measure. Yeah? So this is Bernier's theorem. Says that the optimal transport problem has a Munch solution whenever you use Euclidean norm and absolutely continuous measure as your source measure. And this was sort of rediscovered by Arnheimer, Aronov, and Hoffman. They were thinking of convexity, an old result by Minkowski. And what they say is they characterize the solutions of the optimal transport problem for target measure, which is discrete, and cost function, which is norm squared. And what they are is their power diagrams, this thing. Yeah, questions? Everybody's happy? Everybody's unhappy. So that's the theorem that I'm going to use. This is, again, what I want to prove. And now I can sketch my strategy. So choose any point, any. So I have my measure somewhere. This is M. And choose any any set of n distinct points in RD. And consider the consider nu to be 1 over n sum of delta masses at this point. Yes? And then solve the optimal transport problem with cost function norm squared. So this gives me a convex some sort of convex partition. And by stability of the transport plan, as I move the point around, these cells will move continuously. Yes? So the cells move continuously by assumption F, my functional convex body, is continuous. So what I have a map that starts in configuration space of RV, goes to, say, Wasser's, you know what I mean? It goes to convex partitions. I have it written over there. Okay. And then goes to RN. So, I need to tell you two things. Here I'm metrizing by the Hausdorff metric, label Hausdorff metric. So each part you measure against the same label. And so that's n numbers, and then you use any product metrics on those n numbers. And here we know RN. Oh, but here I'm evaluating. So the first coordinate of that RN is the value of the function f on this region. Yes? On the region of x1. The value of this function in the second coordinate is the value of f on the region corresponding to the point 2. Huh? Et cetera. Yeah, is that clear? Yeah? Yeah, sorry, I didn't say that. This is configuration space of endpoints in RD. So this is some subset of RND. This is RND minus the fat diagonal, which means where two points collide. So if I want to solve this problem, I better have the two points not colliding, because if not, these two cells will become one. Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I didn't say that. Wasserstein space? So this is a measure. I don't know how to say these words. Yeah. So I take a point. So I take x1, x2, xn. And this becomes a measure here. Yes? The sum of delta, normalized sum of delta masses. Then I solve the optimal transport, and this becomes a convex partition here. And then I evaluate on each. So this is a convex partition, but they come with a label, which is corresponding to point 1, point 2, etc. So my result will follow if I can show that there's no continuous map. So forget about this whole thing and just think of Cn of RV going to Rn. So what I want to show is that any map like this hits the diagonal, right? Hitting the diagonal means that all these regions are evaluating to the same point on their F. So, for contradiction, let's assume that it doesn't hit the diagonal. So I erase the diagonal here. Topologically, so this is Rn minus one line. So project down into Rn minus one, the orthogonal space to the diagonal. And you'll get Rn minus one minus a point, minus zero. And then retract that to the sphere, Sn minus two. Yes? This is supposed. And I want to show that there's no map from configuration space, no continuous map from configuration space on endpoints to the sphere of dimension n minus 2. Yes? If I show that, I would prove that result that I want to show. No map, no continuous map at all. Very good. So I need to use something more. Exactly. What I need to use is, so let's go back to the Borsuk-Ulam theorem. In the Borsuk-Ulam theorem, I had an action. I had a C2 action, which was n-people map. So what this was saying is that another way to say Borsuk-Ulam is that there is no C2 map between the sphere of dimension n and the sphere of dimension n minus 1. So C2 is a group on two elements, and it acts on the sphere. And what it does on both spheres is x to minus x. Yeah, there's no equivalent there. So I need to give you an action here, and there's a very natural one. Configuration space comes with a very natural action, which is just, permutation. So this is the symmetric group. It acts here. So here we don't see what's happening, but here we remember the labels. So it acts here again. And finally, it acts here. And this is the usual representation of the symmetric group in Rn. So this just permutes coordinates. And this part that I did here, erasing the diagonal and projecting to the orthogonal space and retracting, this is all equivariant. So what I want to show is that there is no map sigma and equivariant. Continuous map. And that you can show. So in our paper we have the condition. So there's a theorem of Dole that generalizes the Borsuk-Ulam theorem. Let me not state it, but we had the condition that if n was a prime which is smaller or equal than the dimension, then this statement, this topological statement, is true. This holds sort of for topological in equivariant topology. This is very easy, and we had a scheme of how to prove it, and we were struggling, but we've been sitting on the result of that. So the geometry was done, and we've been sitting on the topology for quite a while. So we uploaded on the archive, and literally half an hour later, Karasev wrote to us saying, well, I came up with the same geometric idea, and a year ago I solved the topological problem. So the only difference between his work and ours is that he doesn't think of optimal transport. He does think of power diagrams. He doesn't think of optimal transport. He was reading Gromov, who proved a very similar result for the sphere. He only states it for hair measure, and I thought for hair measure when I read it, but no. So Gromov proved the result for powers of two and for the sphere. Karasev generalized it to any power of prime power, And we can sort of claim the result using Karasev's topological lemma because it's from a previous paper. In fact, the topological result, it's slightly stronger. So if you go back to the Hamm sandwich, you have V measures in RD. So the dimension counting, and here I only had one function and one measure. This works in R2 and R3 in any dimension. So dimension counting tells you that you should do, you should have one measure and V minus one functions. And this is exactly what we get. And that's all that I wanted to say. Thank you very much.